You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan, when it comes to public transportation, we can and should do better for everyone's sake. That's the message of a newly released paper from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan called Rethinking Regional Transportation in Michigan's Urban Areas. And that word rethinking is very key. Let's talk about it now as we welcome Eric Lufer with the Citizens Research Council and Megan Owens, who's Executive Director of Transportation Riders United. Good to have you both with us to talk transportation. And guys, you look at Chicago and New York and Toronto and Washington, D.C., just some very easily chosen examples where people living in a city don't need a car to get around. And you hear Michiganders say, why can't we have that here? Eric, why can't we?
Well, I mean, clearly we have to go back in history and know that the autos ruled supreme, and there's a lot of pushback on having buses or light rail playing part of it. But those days are long past, and now we've just gotten stuck where I think it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing that we see empty buses and we tell ourselves it's inefficient, so why are we going to fund it? But you're never going to have a good system until we fund it. So what comes first? We're saying it's time to invest in it and really put it up on the pedestal it needs to, and it's the future of mobility. If we don't invest now, we're going to get left behind.
And this report is about rethinking regional transportation. Let's talk about rethinking, Megan. We have spent generations around here thinking of public transportation as, air quotes here, a way to get around for people who don't have cars, seeing it as a social welfare program, a poor person's problem. Where does that thinking come from? Is it unique to Michigan as the home of the automobile?
No, it's not necessarily unique. A lot of people assume that if you can drive, that's the best way to get around, but they don't necessarily look at all of the costs that go along with driving, whether that's the actual financial costs of nearing $10,000 a year to own and operate a car, but also the social costs of how much time we spend stuck in a car, staring at the bumper in front of us and not walking around our community. So there are definitely, unfortunately, it's pretty common to perceive, outside of major cities, to perceive transit as a social service. But if you get into most cities, the property value benefit of having great transit is huge, and is not something that most cities want to miss.
Eric Lufer, that looking at public transportation as a social welfare program, where has that led us?
Well, it's led us to a great underinvestment in transit. We've had people move away from our inner cities for whatever reason, sprawling further and further away. And once they're out there, they're put up the gate and say, that's it. Those are your problems now. You deal with it. Sort of bad on us that we've had Detroit go through the condition it has. And getting into downtown Detroit isn't as hard as getting into downtown Chicago or New York or Washington, D.C. It's coming back, and there's going to be more and more traffic. So again, do we want to wait until traffic is so bad that you're spending an hour getting into downtown, or are we going to invest now and have a system in place so that we can rebuild Detroit, we can expand our inner ring suburbs? If we wait, we're going to get left behind again. I come back to that theme.
And when you think of public transportation through that old lens of someone who doesn't have a car, so they take a bus. So let's go beyond that. What could a full-throated, functional, modern public transit system look like without us having to take 3 hours to get somewhere or change modes of transit multiple times? What do you think, Megan?
Well, my office is in Tech Town in Midtown Detroit. And when I want to go to a meeting downtown, I have a car. I could drive, but finding a parking place, paying for it, is really a huge hassle. In that downtown Midtown Detroit area, I actually have a lot of other choices. I can get on the Mogo bike share and have a nice bike ride if the weather is good. There are e-scooters around that I can take if I want to do that. There are three different bus lines that go in the same area. There's the Q line, streetcar. That 3 mile stretch of Detroit has a ton of different options for getting around, and it's a really convenient to choose whichever mode fits the weather, my schedule, my personal preferences. Now, the question is, how do we provide that those types of options throughout all of Michigan so that when you need to get from one place to another, you can think about what which mode you would like to use, which way you would choose to get there, not how bad's the traffic going to be and where do I have to park as being the only options.
Yeah, so as we were putting this together, we were looking at what other cities were doing, and yesterday we were getting ready to publish this, and I got an email with a link from Portland, Oregon, where they're creating an app so you can map out how you where you want to get to and say, I'm going to use Uber for this share, and then it'll take me to the bus. I'm going to get off the bus. There will be a bike share waiting for me to go that last couple blocks so I don't have to walk in the, you know, I need to get where I'm going. And the future of these apps are you'll be able to pay once. You don't have to, I'm going to pay Uber this share, and then I have to have enough coins or a card to scan when I get on the bus. And then I, you know, how do I have the go whatever the system is for bike sharing. It'll all be done seamlessly. You pay once and everything will work for you.
It doesn't seem realistic for a lot of people.
But it's working in other places. You know, it's hard to imagine here because we're so far behind. But you go to these other places and they take it for granted. Mm-hmm. These systems are in place and it's multimodal and they're creating the apps so you can make it as easy as possible. And, the, you know, sort of the good news is we have a clean slate. We don't have to upset anybody to say, you've been doing it wrong and we're going to change that. We have a clean slate. We can start from ground zero and build this up and make it work, but we have to invest in it.
I would push back a little bit on the blank slate. There are more than 100,000 transit rides every day just in Southeast Michigan. But there is certainly a great opportunity to do more and to bring more of these pieces together.
I'm speaking with Megan Owens of Transportation Riders United and Eric Lufer of the Citizens Research Council talking about the CRC's new report, Rethinking Regional Transportation in Michigan's Urban Areas, which brings us to regional. Right now, we have all these little different silos for governance. And what does the report recommend, Eric, for ways to build regional governance for a regional system?
So we have to start with thinking about what the authority is going to be about and who is it for. Right now, we've created the RTA, the Regional Transit Authority, and membership, the board is composed of representatives from the member counties in the city of Detroit. And we really question that. If it's going to be serving people, it should be represented by people. We should go back to Walt Lansing and reconstitute that authority to give it real input into planning and zoning and economic development. If we're going to be asking those the bus system, SMART and DDOT and all these to be serving the property, serving the people, they should have some say in that. If we continue to sprawl further and further away, if we continue to build properties with all this parking in front of them so you can't have to walk a great distance to get off the bus and into the building, that's really not very friendly for transit. So we need to give the authority some say in that. And then we need to think about funding it. And a regional funding system should not include a property tax. It is probably the least the funding source least conducive to thinking about the region as a whole. You're thinking about how does it affect my property value? How does it affect my neighborhood? How does it affect my city? Not how does it affect the whole region? So most places use a local option sales tax. That's really a tough climb in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But there's local option income taxes. We could do that on a regional basis at a fairly low rate and accomplish good things.
And it seems that goes right back to the point that is so central to this report is that we need to stop looking at public transportation as this social welfare program, that this is something that benefits everybody because of what it can mean for living in 21st century Michigan.
I think you're totally right. For too long, the city or county boundaries have dictated whether you can get to a job or get to another opportunity, and we've carved out there's so much political squabbling over what percentage of money goes exactly back within what county. When I travel all throughout, I ride the bus throughout all four counties. I may live in Oakland County, but I work in Detroit and I visit Macomb and I've got family in Ann Arbor. It really should be a much more seamless connection between systems. And when that started to happen, people respond. SMART started operating the fast bus last year that runs seamlessly every 15 minutes between the city and suburbs on three of its busiest routes. And ridership has gone up substantially because people want to be able to, especially on Saturdays. So it's not necessarily work trips, but people going from Southfield or Royal Oak to go to Detroit to see a show or to go to a concert or to visit a friend. When we make it easy, more and more people will choose to ride, but we do need to make those regional connections much easier to do.
I want to talk politics for a minute and point out, you know, the report says local policymakers need to be considering transportation and related policies that promote collaboration and the region as a whole. Megan, how does that happen with Brooks Patterson and to somewhat lesser extent Mark Hackle at the helm of Oakland and Macomb County government?
Well, a couple answers to that. There are some discussions, as the CRC report suggested, of ways to modify the RTA legislation to adjust how much explicit control or even just to adjust the boundaries of what parts of the region are in there. So if we took the most rural areas out, I like the suggestion of a feathered tax, so it's a little higher closer in and lower further out, but I believe there are limitations on that. Also, it's important to remember Oakland County is changing. It's got a Democratic majority in the county commission with some people who are extraordinarily strong transit supporters. And so they're actively exploring what can be done within Oakland County to improve transit and to improve connections to the broader region. Sadly, Brooks Patterson has been so focused on what's in it for our county, and assuming that somehow something that benefits Detroit must harm Oakland, as opposed to recognizing that we're not competing Oakland against Detroit, we're competing against Cleveland and Minneapolis and Boston and Shanghai. We need to be in it together. There are some different options for moving forward, and there's a growing recognition both among voters and among politicians of this need for regionalism and for a regional investment in something that'll really help all of us succeed.
And it's certainly worth noting that Oakland County Treasurer Andy Meisner and Board of Commissioners Chairman Dave Woodward are both expected to run for county executive, and Sheriff Michael Bouchard, the Republican, is considering a run. But that could certainly change the political landscape in Oakland County.
Yep. Very much.
Right now, we've rigged the system to push back on this, you know, so to have that property tax, to have local communities able to opt out. When they created the first plan for the RTA, it said that certain amounts of money need to go back to the individual communities. So we create a regional system, but say we don't want it to be really regional.
Trying to have it all ways.
And that doesn't work for anyone. You can't have everything and do everything for everyone. Let's do what we can and do it as well as we can and not try to serve all masters.
Eric, why don't we hear more talk about taxing sports and entertainment events?
You know, during the Granholm administration, they tried to do expand the sales tax to include more services, and they did it about as poorly as you could do it, and just, you know, the devil's in the details. So now they're really gun-shy on expanding it to more services. I just did a presentation a couple days ago where I was looking at Michigan's tax competitiveness and used a source that surveyed the different states and looked at how many services are included, and we're at the bottom of that. So we could expand the taxation, include services. You think about, you used to buy a house and the first thing you do would go buy a lawnmower, and now the first thing you do is engage a lawn service. And so it just really is emblematic of how our economy is changing. And we're missing out on a lot of things. So, you know, clearly services, that's a huge part, not only in downtown Detroit, but every movie theater and every community and local theater and whatever. So there's lots of opportunities. I wouldn't limit it just to entertainment, though. I think there's a lot of opportunities to do more, and it wouldn't be a huge burden on anyone.
There's a number of cities that have specifically looking at entertainment and sporting events that have incorporated transit into that. Parking is difficult and expensive around these stadiums and such. So they've actually incorporated in, when you buy your sports ticket, I believe Denver, Dallas, or places that have these, your baseball ticket, your football ticket, it already includes a transit pass in it. So whether you ride it or not, it then makes it that much easier for people to use transit to get down to the game, to then not have to deal with the $45 parking, and then to not have to worry about getting the DUI on the way home. Things like that do introduce transit to people who may not be able to use it on an everyday basis, but would love to be able to use it once in a while to go to a ball game or go to the airport or other entertainment options like that.
We could actually gallop through this for a whole hour. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I just want your final thoughts, Eric, on what you hope will come from this report.
We put this report out really hoping to start the dialogue. We're under no pretense that we have all the answers, but we have to start the dialogue. We're hoping in November of 2020 that we'll be thinking about how to fund the RTA, and I think we're far enough out that we can go back and think about some of the elements of the RTA, and you know, let's have the dialogue. Let's think about how we could do this better. So our report is on our website at crcmich.org, and we hope people will come and, you know, let's talk.
Eric Lufer, Citizens Research Council, and Megan Owens, Transportation Riders United. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you.